Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus continues here in Luke chapter 6 with his Sermon on the Mount and presents to us today some real challenges. This is not so much of a law gospel type text as it is a how do Christians live differently in this world? How do we look different? How do we act different? And what I will say is it's not easy, right? The Christian life, living this life is not an easy one to live. In fact, you know, some people say, well, you know, being a Christian must be just the easiest thing because you're forgiven and you can do whatever you want. And it's like, no, that's not the way that it works. In fact, Christians are called to live very differently from the world around, and Jesus is addressing a couple of things that the world around that first century, the world around the time that his disciples and he are walking around Jerusalem and around Judea, these are things that the world has sort of taken for granted. They've developed these systems in order to survive. And the first one that Jesus addresses in our text today is the idea of revenge. Or retaliation, maybe, is a better way to put it. Not so much revenge as retaliation. The old eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth mentality. And I think in Jesus' day, that was sort of the go-to. You know, that's what we did. If you were wronged, then, you know, you got the chance to wrong the other person or at least to retaliate against them in some way. And I would say that not much has changed in the world around us, and in fact, even in the church, that sometimes is a mode of operating. And Jesus says, we always want to take notice when he begins by saying, but I say to you, your ears ought to go, all right, I'm listening twice, I'm speaking not. I'm only listening to what Jesus has to say when he says, but I say to you. I say to you, he says, that you are going to live differently in this world. And it's most likely going to make life more difficult for you to do so. It's going to look very different. He says, rather than the eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth, or rather than hating one's enemy, he says, love your enemies. We want to pay attention to the verbs that Jesus uses when he goes through this time. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Now, those are very intentional things that his followers are to do in the face of oppression, in the face of abuse, in the face of persecution. He says, you are to be active in these things. Jesus doesn't say, pick up the sword and fight back. Now, I know this causes all sorts of problems for us. It caused all sorts of problems for Jesus' followers, too, including Peter, who, when Jesus was arrested, what was his first inclination is, I'm picking up the sword and I'm starting to hack away at people. And Jesus says, put it away. Those who live by the sword die by the sword, so put it away. Jesus is trying to teach a very different way of life. And whether you want to label it non-aggression or pacifist or something like that, we want to be careful of injecting a whole lot of ideas of modern living into what Jesus is saying. But he is teaching us to live differently. He is teaching us to reach out, to operate out of love for humanity. Love for everyone around us. And not that, you know, the ushy-gushy kind of love or that kind of mixed up love that we have in our world. The love that God has for his creation. The love that God has for you in Christ. He says, this is the love that you are to show to others, including your enemies, including those who hate you, including those who oppress and persecute, those who abuse. You are to live in love towards them. Not in retaliation, not an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth, but in love. Now notice too, I said it just a minute ago, that Jesus isn't necessarily saying we're not to do anything. We are to be active in doing good to our enemies, in doing good to those who hate us, in loving and praying for and blessing those who out there would rather see us doomed to die than anything else. We are to pray for them. We are to love them. We are to serve and do good for them. I said it's not going to be easy, right? This is not easy for us to do. Because our sinful self, our sinful inclination, and that devil sitting on our shoulder kind of thing always shouts, well, get back at them. Do something. And how many people, and including myself, when I was growing up, I was a target of bullies every single day. And, you know, I had so many people say, why don't you hit him back? Why don't you hit him back? Why don't you hit him back? And I just, you know, growing up all my life, I thought, well, what good is that going to do? It will just make him hit me harder. Now, I wasn't necessarily living by what Jesus was talking about, but now, yes, here's the disclaimer. There is a time to stand up for the oppressed, to speak for those who have no voice. Scripture is not silent on those issues. There is a time to defend the faith and defend what you believe and stand up for those things. But that, too, is motivated out of love, not out of pride and ego and defeating the other. Jesus is trying so hard to teach his disciples and the people around him that following him looks different, feels different. The world around will look at you suspiciously and wonder what you're up to. Why in the world would you do that for somebody who is so awful or so hateful? Why would you pray for them? Why would you pray anything but that they be cursed? We pray, we bless. Not because we want to necessarily in our sinful self, but because Jesus says this is what we are to do. We are Christians, this is what we do. If we go back just a little bit in the Sermon on the Mount from last week, Jesus had this to say, blessed are you, when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. It's a rough road. It's a rough road to walk. But we know the reward of following Jesus. That great reward in heaven for following Jesus. And it's not because we adhered to the law and did everything step by step by step. It's because we are followers of Christ in the love of God and the grace that he has poured out on us. That's what this is all about. Jesus also addresses the issue of reciprocity. And reciprocity is sort of modus operandi for so much of the world in Jesus' time and in our time. It is the I help you, you help me. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. We operate in that way so much in this world. And not just, I'm not talking about like economical exchange. That's a whole different ballgame. But I'm talking about just in relationship-wise. How many relationships are built on this reciprocity, this I help you, you help me kind of thing? And Jesus says, He says, what good is it if you only help those who help you? Or what good is it if you only love those who love you? What good is it if you are just living like everybody else in the world? He says, even sinners live that way. It doesn't matter. This is not the way to live. In fact, in Greece and in Rome, sort of little empires were built out of reciprocity. You never knew who was truly a friend and who was truly a patron, because all of the relationships were built on reciprocity. You didn't know. Every relationship was built on something in exchange for something else. And Jesus is saying, no. In fact, you're going to give to those who have no ability to give back. You're going to give to anyone who begs from you, regardless. You're going to invite those who could never invite you back. You're going to have to dinner those who couldn't have you to dinner. You're going to give without ever expecting anything in return. There's a couple of things that operating right there, and one is, of course, the love of God, right? We give because we love God and we love people, so we give. It's just what we do, and we don't expect anything in return. And in this world, that's hard, because we like to keep tabs on things. We like to keep the check sheet so that it's balanced on either side. We like to make sure that we get all of the things back that we've given out. And Jesus is saying, no. That's the way the world works. That's not how my followers work. And in this world, that's hard. And in our community, that's hard. Especially here in Eugene, where there are so many to give to who could not possibly give back, or who might even, when we give to them, might return it with hate. We could offer all the help in the world and they may return it with graffiti all over the building, broken windows, stolen stuff out of the cars. And that might cause us to recoil and say, well, then I'm just not going to give. Now, I'm going to put this in really fire and brimstone terms. When Jesus pours out his love and forgiveness on you, and you go off during the week and sin it up, is it any different? It's hard. It's hard because we want so much to help, but we're afraid of being hurt, and Jesus just keeps on giving and forgiving and giving and forgiving. Following Jesus is tough. His disciples are going to find that out as they follow him more and more. They're going to find out just how tough it is, and how every time they go someplace to try and love and serve the people, it's returned with rejection and hatred and plotting and scheming, and then eventually it's returned with the crucifixion of the one who had taught them all this. Now, yes, we are not Jesus, right? We look at our hands and there are no holes there. We are not the ones who hung on the cross. However, we are the ones to whom his Spirit has been given. We are the ones to whom his love has been given. And this day, this time is hard. And yet, we continue to love and serve. And sometimes we are challenged, and sometimes things just don't make sense. And sometimes the harder we try, the worse the response is, and yet we keep doing it. Because the love of Jesus has to get out there somehow. It has to get out there some way. It's not just going to magically fall from the sky. It works through us. And we have that opportunity for His Spirit to work through us, His love to work through us. The opportunities are there everywhere you look. Everywhere. So our prayer for this week coming up, this week that we're going to face where who knows what in the world is going to happen, we pray for the Holy Spirit to work through us, in us, around us, to share that love, that caring, those good things that we can do, and be reminded of the love that Christ has for us. In Jesus' name.